Hello everybody, this is Lucy's message for Sunday, January the 7th. Hello everyone, and best wishes for the year 2024. Yes, it's the first Sunday of the year, and for 3 years in a row, the message of the first Sunday of the year has fallen to me. So once again, I ask myself the question, what would be a suitable message for this day? Looking back, we can all say that God was faithful in 2023, so he will be faithful in 2024. So where does one look forward? There I have more difficulty. Many people make good resolutions, but if I dare to look back again and ask you, who made good resolutions in 2023, how long did you keep them? I risk being disappointed. They were probably failures. My last good resolution that I have been keeping, for several years in fact, is to stop making good resolutions. So if I'm not going to look back to 2023 or forward to 2024, where will I look? I let myself be guided by Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendour and majesty. So I lift up my eyes. I look neither back nor forward, but I look further. I look to God himself. He is high. He is great. He is glorious and he is magnificent towards us. Let's read verses 2 to 4. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent, and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, and rides on the wings of the wind. He make winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. How does the psalmist describe God? We will dissect this passage. But if I asked you to describe God, how would you do it? Not such an easy exercise. On the one hand, the psalmist describes God by his creation, and on the other hand, by comparing him to humans. Did you notice in verse 1, God is clothed, he took on like humans a garment. In verse 2, it is said, concerning the light that God created, that it is like a coat in which one wraps oneself. Don't forget your coat in this season. You have to cover up well. Light, like a coat, covering things, illuminating them, and showing their beauty. God wraps himself in light, like a coat, or a cloak. God is light. Jesus said he is the light of the world. He came so that we would no longer walk in darkness. We do not see God, but we see the light that he is and that he puts at our service. Without the light that is God himself, we would have no light. We wouldn't even exist. I like Psalm 104. It puts things into perspective. Rather than looking towards the good old days or brooding over a dark horizon, this psalm invites us to look up, to look to God, who is at the same time far away, but also close to us. God is very great, transcendent, but in his creation he makes himself immanent. The nature that God created has several functions for us. This is what verses 2 to 4 describe. This ability of light to cover everything is expressed as a coat or a cloak. Verse 2, he stretches out the heavens like a tent. Like a tent. Humans need a roof. God created the sky. He gives it to us as a tent, a shelter. Verse 3, lays the beams of his upper chambers on the waters. A coat, a cloak, a tent. Now he mentions there are bedrooms upstairs. It is the image of dry land at the edge of water, of a river, of an ocean. Houses are built on solid ground. God actually created the separation between the waters and the earth. Remember Genesis, the first thing God created was light. Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the second thing, Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. The psalmist calls this vault a canvas, a tent. The psalmist speaks of a dwelling place of rooms. God created a dwelling place for himself, so to speak. This is the next stage of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, "And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good." Light, the sky, the waters and the earth. We have the elements to make clouds, wind, lightning. God creates movement. In Psalm 104, verse 3, "He takes the clouds for his chariot. He moves on the wings of the wind." God is moving. God is acting. He is not still. Clouds and winds are compared to a chariot moving forward or to the movement of a bird with its wings. And what else does God do with these winds? Verse 4, "He makes them messengers." God therefore wants to communicate. With whom? If not with us, the beings on this earth that he created. And always, in verse 4, the flaming fire is at his service. This fire is the lightning, which is its servants. Everything is at his service. Everything was created to perform a function. Yes, God speaks to us through nature, through his creation. Advice to city dwellers: as soon as you can, get out of the cities or look for a park and go into nature. This is what God created for you. This is also where he reveals his splendour, his greatness. And in these first verses of the psalm, we can also see a comparison with the great ones of this world. They show themselves to us in all their pomp: beautiful coats, beautiful homes, luxurious chariots, and servants by the dozens. But the mantle of God, his dwelling, his chariot, his servants are a thousand times more glorious, magnificent. Let us move on to a second section of the psalm, verses 5 to 9. After speaking about the functions of creation, the psalmist goes on to describe in more detail the how of creation. Verses 5 to 9. "He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary. They cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." We continue on the theme of creation, nature, and human activities. The psalmist speaks, verse 5, of laying a base, of making foundations like a human activity, so that the house is strong and will not waver. The sky covered the deep like a garment. The waters above and below the vault, God separated them. We have just read this in the book of Genesis. The psalmist describes this act as God turning back the waters. Rabroué. That is a French word that we don't use often. It means to grumble. Rabroué. It is a form of interaction, a development between a holder of authority and a subject, between a parent and a child, between a master and his dog. God turned away the waters and they left, each to the place where there should be. Let's reread. But at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. Verses 8 and 9 speak of the limits that God assigns. The mountains ascend, the valleys descend, the waters recede within their limits. Clearly, God reigns. He decides. This is what I want to keep as a horizon, as a perspective for the year. God reigns. He has everything under control, and his will is accomplished on earth. We have seen the functions of the creation of the first elements, light, the sky, the earth separated from the waters. We have seen how God did it. Let us now see the provisions he has determined, first on the earth, then in the sky, and finally in the oceans. Let us read verses 10 to 18. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, the stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats, the crags are a refuge for the hyrax. This is the description of the rest of creation. God made grass, seeds, trees grow. Everyone gives their product, which serves as food for humans, bread, wine, oil. Then the animals and everyone find their place, each in their own place, birds in the trees. Some animals are made to live between rocks, others in the mountains. Let us not forget, we who shop in the supermarket, that all food is produced by man based on what God has planned for us. It is not Intermarché, Leclerc, Lidl, Aldi that enables us to eat it. It is the agricultural land and the labour of the men and women who work it, who produce the wheat for bread, the grapes for wine. Others breed animals whose milk and meat will feed us and who, incidentally, also produce the basic products to clothe us or make cosmetics to beautify us, etc. But at the beginning of this passage, note that not only does God set the limits to water, to rain, to streams and rivers, but here in verse 10, in addition, he directs them. There are springs, they flow towards where there are animals grazing and they find something to quench their thirst. God is at work. In verse 13, he waters the mountains. You who know the chore of watering the plants in summer, think of God who waters. Verses 14 and 15, he makes the grass and the plants grow enough to give food for cattle and men, bread, but not only, also wine and oil. Nature, creation, whether you consider it scientifically or elementarily biblical, or even a mixture between the two, it is a fact, and this psalm says that God is not absent from it. He created and he supports his creation as much nature, animals as men. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The psalm describes to us a God who acts. The epistle to the Hebrews says that God has spoken, he still speaks. He speaks to us through his Son, and it is said about him that he is the radiance of the glory and the expression of the reality of God, and this Son, he upholds everything by his powerful word. The verb in Greek, translated as support here, has several meanings: carry, lead, support. The Son of God, although seated on the right, continues to act. He supports everything by his powerful word. Let us return to our psalm, which describes yet another part of creation, this time in heaven. Let's read verses 9, 19 to 23. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labour, until evening. With this last verse, we are right in our daily life. We go out in the morning and work until the evening. What's more normal? There is the reality of day and night, of seasons, the role of the moon and the sun that God created, which mark the periods of the year, but also of the day. The order of created beings, night for certain animals, day for the activities of men. And then the psalmist pauses in his description because he marvels at the works of God on earth. He expresses himself thus in verse 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Then the psalmist leaves the earth to look at what is happening in the seas and oceans, this other part of creation. Verses 25 and 26. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. The Leviathan is a marine animal that moves by wriggling. There you have it, earth, sky, sea, and everything that fills and populates the earth. The psalmist will bring them together in the following verses. We read verse 27 to 30. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground to be revived by God. Nature, for the psalmist, revolves entirely around God, exists through him, is animated by him and depends on him. Each thing, each animal, each blade of grass, each star, everything has a place determined by God, a specific role. God is the centre, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and for us is ultimately the same thing. Hope in God, depend on him, be revived by him. We hope in God, we depend on him. It is he who revives and renews us. The psalmist has just described through nature and creation how great is the Lord, how great is his glory, how great are his works. Verses 31 and 32. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. No, God is not absent from his creation. He seeks to communicate with it. God wants to communicate with us, and the psalmist in turn expresses his desire. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Verses 33 and 34. I sing to the Lord. I make my request known to him. I rejoice in him. Here I have a remark to make. The English versions have another translation. They say something like, my meditation on the Lord will be pleasing to him. In fact, both translations can be justified in Hebrew. On the one hand, yes, my meditation about the Lord is pleasing to me, but on the other hand, it is also correct to interpret as, may the words of my request be pleasing to him. There are sweet moments of meditation, of communion even, but there is also the need, sometimes poignant, to make known what saddens us, angers us, frightens us. Everything is not always rosy. Verse 35, but may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. In July, I brought a message on Psalm 88, which had only one positive verse. Without intention, today I have a psalm with only one negative verse. Yes, there is sin, sinners, and they make many mistakes and harm that innocent people suffer from. May God put an end to all this. It is the prayer of the psalmist. But the negative, or let's say this part of reality, only occupies half of the verse. The psalmist does not ignore this, but he remembers the greatness of the Lord, and this allows him to end on this very positive note. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. So at the start of a new year, I want to do like the psalmist, a look back, a look forward. Nothing wrong with that. But we must rise up and look to the one who is greatest, clothed in splendour and magnificent. We need to look around us at creation, at nature, worship the Creator, not creation. Notice in this psalm that the human being is only mentioned once. No, it's not all about us. We must see that everything has a function, see diversity, see providence. To be able to hope in the Lord, live dependent on Him, expect to be revived and renewed by Him. May at the beginning, at the end of the year, like the psalmist, our mouths say, bless the Lord, praise the Lord. So today, no good resolutions, no wishes that carry no further, but a simple reality expressed by a little song. If you know how to praise God in 2024, you will overcome what risks tearing you down, weighing you down, disturbing you. Don't forget Psalm 104. Praise the Creator, see His providence. He reigns, everything is in His hands, and He has promised to be with us all the days of our lives, 2025 including. Amen.